Now, it's a great privilege to be here again this morning, and I won't keep you as long as I kept you yesterday. I have a very bad problem in my life. If I have 2 pages of notes, I preach 2 to 3 hours. If I got 16 pages or 24 pages, all the same thing. It reminds me of the manna, and I guess I'm going to flatter myself now. You know, the fellows who went out picking and got a little bit, they ate just as long as the fellows who went out and picked the whole lot. So, 2 pages of notes or 24 pages, what is a man? But I won't keep you so long. I might have to make a little confession why I talk so long usually. I was preaching many years ago, and that's the days I met a priest as long as an hour and a half, which was pretty phenomenal because it was usually 45 minutes. And this brother said, "Now, Brother Vail is not really long-winded. He just has a lot to say about the subject." Now, I thought that was a very sweet hint. And, of course, one little fellow got a whole lot more direct than he did. And one day he said, "Brother Vail, don't you get kind of tired standing up there so long?" And I laughed. I said, "Well, Tim, what you really mean isn't it? You're getting pretty tired of listening to me so long." And he got a great big grin on his face. He said, "Yeah, that's really right." Very sweet kid. So one day he said, "Now, Brother Vail, have you ever preached for a half an hour, 45 minutes rather?" He said, "I'm going to buy you a ham. And if you ever get to preaching a half an hour, I'm going to give you the whole hog." So I wasn't paying any attention, but a couple of years later, I guess it was, which was just last year, I preached for less than 45 minutes because I wanted to get out early, kind of cut the message down. And we had all gone to the spot for a cup of coffee, and in walks Tim with a great big ham. It sure pays, if you preach certain ways. And one of these days, I'm going to get the whole hog. I'm not in any real rush for it because we don't eat that much pork. but I'm not averse to it. But, Brother Branham's favorite little joke was about the preacher that used to pop the peppermint in his pocket, or the lifesaver, and he preached for 25 minutes. And one day the guy got a hold of a button. And after an hour and a half, he finally realized what had happened. He quit preaching. But that's not as bad as a friend of mine told me about this Pentecostal preacher. He got up one morning, and he used to preach about 3/4 hour, and the guy started talking, and he couldn't sit down until finally he fell down exhausted. And they said, "What happened?" Well, he said, "It was this, my teeth broke last night, and I had to bore my wife." Now, you may think that's funny, but I'm going to tell you a true story now. And if you laugh, you're going to be in trouble. When I was born, the doctor looked in my mouth and he said to my mother, he said, "The tying of the tongue is too far down, and we don't cut that little boy's tongue there, he's going to get tongue-tied." Now, I'm just asking, how fast I can talk? That's because I think that fast, and I think faster than I can talk. Now, what would have happened to me if I'd have been tongue-tied? And with my fast thinking, I'd have blown my brains up by the time I was 5 years of age. Well, the doctor thought he did me a favor. He cupped that string there, but I think he made a mistake that he must have cut the back of the tongue too. So now my tongue's tied in the middle. I can get it bowing both ends. So if I talk fast and long, that's just too bad, because what are you going to do when you're born a certain way? Or they do something to you. So you've just got to be very careful and very careful now, because if what I told you now is a true story, and I got that infirmity. And so now, you got to bear with those that have infirmities. I don't want to keep you so long, but if I should take some time, it's going to be all right. Now, shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray now you'll solemnize our hearts seriously toward the thoughts of your kingdom, O God, which we know is the most important thing in this world, because one day the kingdom of this earth shall become the kingdom of our God. And you said that we'd become priests and kings in it, and reign for 1,000 years, and then come back in the generations of the eternal in New Jerusalem. Yeah. And Lord, we know that you told us concerning this that there are certain duties that are to be performed, even though it's all done by grace in the introduction of us into this kingdom. But our positioning and those things, Lord, which are for the future, which you set forth in your word, they depend upon us, who in turn depend upon you. And so, Father, this morning, give us, we pray, the clear-cut conceptions and understanding. Not just the what, but how. And this is what we really want, Lord, because we know that today in this world system, the economists and men that aren't even half bright can tell what's wrong, but hardly anybody can tell how to make it right. But Lord, this would be the crime of eternity if ministers by the Holy Ghost were not given the ability by the revealed word, which in this hour has been vindicated, to help the people so they would know not just the what, but they know the why and the how. So, Father, this morning, we put ourselves on the spot, but we're not on the spot if the Holy Spirit makes us able ministers and able hearers and able doers. God, this morning, we're just resting in you now by faith, for even on based on what we talked about yesterday. Bless each one here in divine presence, O God. May your sweet spirit just be with each one here until, Brother so aptly put it, quoting the prophet, that Satan's already bound because of the circumstances. And the circumstances are, we've let down our guards, we've let down the barriers, we're now in each other's bosom and a part of each other.
Yes.
Oh God, if there is a life moving through us, and that one life is centralized, being one life, and then everybody's moving in harmony, in unison, one body. Yes. One great symphony, Lord. Father God, we know these things. And now, Lord, as we learn more things, we'll be happy if we do them. We commend ourselves, therefore, to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the first message on the subject, or this subject of priorities, we saw that God's choosing, God's ordained priority for us was to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, we notice that this is not our choice, but it is God's choice for us. Carnal man would not so do. See, it's God's ordained choice. It's what God said to us. We didn't have any more to do with this than we have to do with being born. It's something that God said. And we see that the kingdom of God is a future kingdom. For Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Also, and as they heard these things, he added and spake another parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom should immediately appear. Also, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Finally, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There is a future kingdom of God upon this earth wherein righteousness and peace reigns, where there is a head of a bride who is in the millennium, where she serves him, and 144,000 serve her. And that kingdom is right here upon this earth, and it is future. And there is a preparation that is to be made toward it that carries over to the New Jerusalem that sets a permanent status of destiny. I set a status within our destiny because our destiny was already under foreknowledge and predestination through the process of election, whereby God did it and we did not, but there's incumbent upon us something we must do that sets our status. Because in the resurrection we differ as the sun from the moon and the stars all differ in glory, so do we. Now, the fish are going to be resurrected. The birds are going to be resurrected. The animals are going to be resurrected. And we are going to be resurrected. And there is going to be a society who will be set forth, in my understanding, according to how they have treated the Word of God that said, "But seek you first the kingdom of God." In other words, we are to put the future ahead of the present, so that the unseen takes precedence over the seen, and the future takes precedence over the present. So that the bird in the bush is worth more than the bird in the hand, because I let the bird in my hand go and I get the bird in the bush. Now, man doesn't operate that way nor want to operate that way. But that's what we're talking about. There's a future kingdom. Now, it should not be necessary for further comment, but I still want to take a little time on this spot. And that is, that though the kingdom we look for is future, God's sovereignty is in effect now. For the scripture says he rules in the armies in the heavens and the earth, and he put over men the basest of men. I guess that's to make people want the kingdom a whole lot more than they wanted if they had a bunch of good dictators. See? God is running and ruling everything now. This gives us a tremendous hope, a tremendous stimulus, that if God is reigning and ruling right now in the things of the earth, then we are superior to and in authority over anything which could hinder us from the preparation of the future which we are laying up for ourselves. Okay? Now we saw that, but we'll see a whole lot more of it. So, we see our great priority is to get ready for the kingdom of God coming upon this earth. We go first then to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to read verses 14 to 23. And we all know them, but I'm going to read them anyway. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I showed you yesterday, we were born into the kingdom by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was given in order that we serve the future kingdom now, to be justified citizens, manifested by conduct. We'll show you that under adoption in a minute. Now, verily they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Because God's ruling over everything. See, he's taking power. Remember, he makes the wrath of man to praise him. And the remainder wrath he does restrain. He took the Hittites and the stones, the same as he took the Pharaohs, to get Israel back there in the promised land. And men are fussing, and men are screaming, and well, they might cry out against injustice, but God was in it. He said, I'll fish you. That's give them a little bait. They wouldn't take the bait. He said, I'll hunt you. And he hunted them down, and they're back there now. He said, I'll carry you upon eagle wings. And he took flames to bring them in there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to know this morning, God is reigning and God is ruling.
Yes.
And he takes the wrath of man to praise him. All right. Now, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear not, I'm with you. See? But you have received the spirit of the placing of sons. See? Whereby we cry, Father, Father. Oh, makes you so happy. See? The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. But hold it. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. Glorification depends in a great measure. I'm not speaking now about the immortalization of your body. I'm talking about the glory when you walk before the great congregation and they say, look at that great child of God. Look at that great servant of God. Look at that great child of faith. That man of hero down there in the earth in the face of every adversity stood with Jesus Christ and not Jesus Christ. Now look at him. And they scream, hallelujah, glory to God. And the heavens begin to ring. Yes, sir, that's preparing for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, for I reckon. This is the day of reckoning, computerization. I got the cute little thing that my son gave me called the Casio. Little tiny thing sitting in the palm of my hand, and I get playing with that thing like a kid enamored with a toy. Man, that thing fast and can do things. Reckoning. We're in the day of the most dynamic, mathematical, proven reckoning the world's ever seen, when God himself came down as Melchizedek and showed exactly who and what he was, who exactly what we are and what lies ahead.
Amen.
Revealing glories which have not been revealed. Now, I reckon, made my computation, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us who suffer. Not must I go to heaven with flowering beds of ease? No, sirree. Other men traverse the stormy seas and I stay home and fan my brow. Many a time I've told you folks in the inner chest, but I'm sorry, sometimes it's a very rotten jest. My idea of roughing it is a good holiday inn or some carpal motel by a nice little lake
with screened-in windows so the mosquitoes don't bite me, a nice air-conditioned restaurant to sit in, and I look out the window and go over to the restaurant and say, I'm having a time. That ain't Christianity. If it is, you ain't getting nowhere. Now, for the earnest, listen, for the earnest expectation. I like that. The word there now remain the three great things, faith, hope, and love. Everybody thinks that word hope means, well, I hope it don't rain, but you know my luck, it'll rain. I hope the mosquitoes ain't bad, but I know Oscar Sue and Chippy Canoe and all the rest of it. And it'll be mosquito country, yeah, yeah. I want to tell you something, ain't no such word in the Bible. The word hope means earnest expectation. Stop being earnest. And I'm being earnest. I'm suffering. I can earnestly enter the sufferings of Jesus Christ, knowing there lies before me a crown. It's something that's earnest. As the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our down payment, so there's an earnestness of the Word of God that Brother Brown brought up. God Himself, whose Word could not fail, and for by Himself, who could not fail, it now becomes earnest. Paul said, I don't mind suffering. I don't mind paying a price. I don't mind laying down the present for the future. I don't mind dying. Why, he said, because I've got the assurance. I'm earnest, he said, the same as God is earnest. Earnest expectation of creation, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for God to take these lovely creatures who have been down here reflecting His glory, standing in His presence and suffering to show the kingdom of God, walking in the footsteps of their great leader. Creation is waiting. I can say no wonder it's waited so long. Might have a while to wait longer too, I hope not. Now, creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. You see, oh, why must it be this way? And sometimes I feel more sorry for nature than people. And I could cry over the carrier pigeons. They've been very extinct. I could weep with those of conservationists who see the animals disappearing. And I look up the window many times and I see the birds and I just sit there and I smile. And yeah, that's one time I smile. You know, sour old Dale, I can't smile. And I just smile at the birds. And I begin to wonder if I only got a little bit cracked. Because I'm smiling more at nature than at the people. Because the people are important. But that nature out there is waiting on you and me.
Amen.
To get our change. And nature's going to change, see? Now, that's what the Bible teaches us, see? Now nature didn't get itself in a mess. We've got nature in a mess.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a country as great as North America? No country greater. And no country decimated and destroyed and polluted in less time than any nation in history. Hardly 300 years and we have a rottener mess over here back any place in the world. Polluted it. God's going to destroy those that destroy the world, the Bible said so. Now, nature is suffering. See? As birth is suffering. Going through birth pains, even right now, as Brother Branham brought up. The creature brought into bondage. And is waiting for the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groans and travails in pain right in this very moment. And not only thee, but ourselves also. Paul saying it. He said, we will have the spirit of the first fruit. And we turn around and say, well, hallelujah. I've got the very thing that's going to put me in the resurrection that puts me in perfection. And Paul says, you bet you have. But you're going to suffer here while you got it till you get there.
Yeah.
And the people that can't suffer and put away the present for the future and cannot release the bird in the hand for the bird in the bush are not worthy of the kingdom of Almighty God and prove them bastards and not sons. I thought I was a bastard one time. I quit preaching. Now, I couldn't take the glory of God putting the food on the table. Oh, what kind of jackasses are we? Balaam's old donkey had a whole lot more things I ever had. Didn't know I could stand there and pray before God. And God bring the food on the table. God put the patches on my patches, but I didn't want patches. But they wandered in goatskins and in chains and were sought of thunder. And I counted myself unworthy for a while. I tell you, I wasn't illegitimate to the word Sabbath slaughter was.
William Branham came by one day. That did it. I knew I'd go back.
But I knew when I went back that time there'd be no turning back. There wasn't, there ain't gonna be.
I know it's gonna be ahead. It was too late to turn back. The decision made, the die's cast. Not because I'm too old, I feel just about as good as at any time in my life. If the antibiotics, I feel a whole lot better in the couch for a long time, a lot of years. Not going back. See? Now, we have the first fruit. In other words, we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. The time, laying up for yourself.
Now, God doesn't say, I want you to do a lot of things down here to particularly glorify me, so there's a lot of nice things up there I could trade around. He said, take care of yourself. Look out for yourself. He said, I've looked out for your rebirth. Now you look out for yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everyone has the command. Lay up treasure in heaven. And the moth can't corrupt, and the rust doesn't corrupt, and the thieves can't get it, and nobody can take it. And then it says, here, I'm going to give you a secret. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We have got the wrong emphasis. We're trying to get a heart condition here, and then something there. Let me tell you, you and I are wrong. Just get the treasure there, then the heart begins to respond.
Amen.
See? I showed you that time after time. That law that Dr. Crane set forth, go through the motion, and the corresponding emotion shall come.
Amen.
You say, my heart is vacuous. It's like a vacuum. I don't feel that pulsating about the treasures in heaven. Why? Because you haven't laid anything up. That's why a lot of us are scared right now to meet heaven. We're commanded not to come empty-handed. If one fellow said the gates of the city are so wide, you've got 40 miles of elbow room. That's the hall your glory's in, your cartloads of goodies. That you may have praise in you alone.
Yeah.
There comes a time when we praise God and Him alone, but there comes another time when we're praised. See? Your heart's going to follow. Now, listen. The light of the body is the eye. Now, what's my eye looking? My eye is bypassing the seen for the unseen. My eye's bypassing the bird in the hand for the bird in the bush. See? My eye is bypassing the temporal for the eternal. Now it says when you do that, your whole body's be full of light. There are people trying to get this message down pat by study, and thereby we're dividing each other. If we would start laying treasure in heaven, we'd get the full revelation of Almighty God. Why is God going to give a full revelation of a bunch of bums? I'm not going to take that back. Don't ask me this. You got it coming, you got it coming, and so have I. This is the word! Not what you and I talk about the word. See, while the prophet came, we got our eyes single. That's true. One eye of an eagle gives us a single revelation. But if you want the truth of it, get your eyes on that kingdom and nothing else. Then watch the word begin to trickle through. I want to tell you, when Cyril came here the first time, he had it right. I might not get along with him. That's his business and mine. I don't agree with a lot of things a lot of people think. You don't have to agree with me. That doesn't mean anything. But I'm going to tell you flat. He had the original proper statement correct. It wasn't how much light you thought you had, but it's what light you walked in. Tell you flat, it's not whether the Church Age book was written by Lee Dale on his own thinking or William Branham's or anybody else's. It's whether you've got an eye single to laying up those treasures. Where the heart begins to follow. And the body starts to get full of light. That's the word of God. Not the half-baked cock ideas that people have in this message based upon things they can't prove. Or believe they can prove because they think they got it. I don't like to talk like you, but I'll challenge anybody here. Come up here and give me one thus saith the Lord. And I'll kiss your feet, I'll bow at your feet. I'll call you Jesus Christ. Now I'll lay her down flat. The dirty old girl's right back to preaching me. Well, I can't change my nature. Hallelujah, I was born that way. And not the hallelujah, I was born that way. Now listen. If thine eye be evil. Evil eye. Consider this, consider that. The evil eye, the eye that's not single, the light that refuses to lay up treasure. As Brother Branham said, the wife that refuses to bear the child for the husband. The same thing is right here, the so-called bride that refuses to bear the reproach and the laying up of treasure in the kingdom is not worthy. Evil-eyed people are not necessarily those who go around drinking, maligning the name of God, perjuring themselves and others, living despicably, evil-eyed. Then the person who refuses the priority that God laid down, seek ye first the kingdom, begin laying up those treasures. I didn't write the Bible. You think I'd have written that? You think I'd preach this way if I had something to do with the Bible? I'd simply say, let's rough it by going to a nice lake and a Holiday Inn that's air conditioned with screens on the windows and a restaurant right around the corner. And we won't even bother to walk. There'll be a taxi at the door. Old evil eye there. Huh? Man wanting the easy way. I said I didn't write the book, but I'm going to preach it. I told you when I started this series, there are three kinds of preachers. Those that preach it, live it. There's the old death. There are old timers that did that, the new timers. Then there's the hypocrites who pretend they live it and act as though you don't lay it down. Then there's a third group of which I'm a part. With embarrassment and a red face, I stand here and proclaim it. If it kills all of us, it's killed God's word. Amen. And we got a little while to do something to that. Now, he said no man can serve two masters and so on. Now, 25 and 33. He said, therefore I say unto you. Now here is the therefore based upon this premise. Get signalized. Forget the things around you. Concentrate on what is ahead of you. Not like Brother Branham said, people always looking back and always looking forward, not ignoring what's here. I'm not talking about that. See? Don't ignore what is here that will bring the future glory. The laying up of treasure. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you're going to eat. What you're going to drink. Not that you shouldn't. Take care of yourself. Not that you shouldn't. Do the things necessary. Because a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. A man that says, well, God's going to fill my platter and doesn't do a thing is ridiculous because God himself said to Adam, you're going to rest your living out of that soil in a mighty tough way. Start working. Get digging. Huh? Not talking about that. He's telling you this, that the kingdom takes precedence over your appetite, over your flesh, over everything. If there's a decision to be made, put it in the future in the kingdom of Almighty God. If you're conscious that you're working on Sunday, quit your job and get another job. I know people don't understand what a preacher goes through. What do you think I went through quitting my job going down the road with nothing to go to and nothing to go with? Oh, well, see, Brother Dale, you're a preacher hogwash. I'm a human being like you are. Leave your wife and kids to the mercy of the elements. No, sir, even with God. Go through toughness and high water temptation. Preachers aren't the only ones. There's no place in Scripture that the preacher alone does it. Paul just says, we're examples of the flock by doing it. Now come along, join the crowd. You've got to put the kingdom ahead of everything else. See? Now, listen. Therefore, take no thought what you're going to eat and so on. The life is more than meat, the body more than meat. And he said, behold, the fowls of the air, they neither sow nor reap. They don't gather in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you a whole lot better than they are? Which of you can add stature? So on, consider the fields, how they grow, they don't toil, don't spin. If Solomon never had a gown like those, so therefore God clothed the grass of the field, which today isn't gone tomorrow. 24-hour life is all it's got. That's worse than a little mayfly. Now, how much more should he clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what are you going to eat, what are we going to drink? How are we going to be clothed? All these things Gentiles seek after, the world seeks after, but you don't. You're seeking after one thing, the major priority. I don't care if school keeps or not. I'm laying up treasure. Yes, sir. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And there's no man left father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, lambs, but will get 100-fold in this life and life everlasting. I remember I told you about Zoe. Zoe is not eternal life. Zoe is life. You and I are going right into that future kingdom just the way we are, except we're changing our body. That's fair. We're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to build. And we're going to plant, we're going to sow. We're going to visit. That great millennium, that great day after man in the white throne judgment, and the city come on down, and in God's holy mountain, the beautiful animals and everything be there, the holy city upon Mount Zion, the Lamb upon the throne, the pillar of fire over the throne, before we call the answer, oh, how blessed.
Amen.
And it's the same race. Yes, sir, a lot of guys got an idea. We're all going to look like Raymond the Bear and Marilyn Monroe hogwash. I'm going to grin on that crazy looking old nose, buzzard beak and the whole thing. I'm going to be just as pretty as a doll before God. According to Brother Brown, the Apostle Paul, hunchback, hooked nose, bandy-day, little old Jew, and Brother Marconda sat there and said, wow, he said, that's the same vision I had. And David wasn't one Michelangelo made him either. He was nothing but a kind of a runt, according to Brother Branham. Oh, we got our priorities all messed up. Look pretty, act pretty, be worldly. Forget the world. Forget the bird in your hand. Look to the bird in the bush. They look down that road. Now, said here, don't you take any thought. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you. In other words, the guarantee lies there. If you honor me, I will honor you.
Amen.
If you do what I tell you to do, I will do what I said I will do for you. I'm preaching faith right now, but I've been pretty rough. Yes, sir. I can be just like the kid whose father said, look, I'm going to give you a bicycle when you clean up all that barn. And the kid messed around, and so one day daddy comes in, he said, I want that barn cleaned up. And the kid fools around, so the dad takes a long willow stick or hickory stick and beats a living daylight out of him. The kid cleans the barn, and the dad gives him a bicycle. That's my preaching. That's the way God can do too.
Amen.
You get your bicycle. God's going to train his kid. Now he said, if you listen to me and do what I say, you put me first, I will guarantee you unequivocally that I will back you.
Amen.
The word of God came to Brother Branham. He said, because you made the right decision, the momentous decision, a great portion of heaven awaits you.
Amen.
What was that decision? Picking the hard way.
Yeah.
Oh, he could have had the easy way.
Yeah.
And you think that Brother Branham wasn't like you and me? Let me let my hair down, or his hair down for him. We sat in Portland, Oregon one day, before our meeting would take place, in an auditorium in Portland. We turned the television on to see Oral Roberts. We saw the vast crowd. We saw Oral Roberts ministering and preaching. And I saw Brother Branham break down with tears of human frustration and say, Brother Lee, I could have the same thing. But God wants something different.
Amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
Oh, you think you knew the prophet? Not like I did. And I'm not boasting. There's people knew better than I did. And somebody knew better than anybody. That was God. But don't think he didn't have his frustration. I remember the day, I think it's right on the tape actually, where Brother Branham and Sister Branham were in meetings, refusing to take large offerings and things, came home one day and hears great big cracks in the floor. And he said, honey, that floor is a mess. Now he said, if I promoted my ministry and I took money like the rest of these people, he said, we could have a nice rug on that floor. I don't know if that's on the tape for sure or not. Is it? Anybody remember that? Well, it's on the tape. It's okay. I'm telling you flat anyway, because we talked. He and I talked. I had a friend dealt in furniture. And I told my friend, well, he said, let's fix it. We went there and took the measure. Poor Brother Branham got nervous. He said, what's it going to cost? I said, nothing. Who needs gimmicks? He said, you leave it here, I'll give it to you here again and up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother, sister, people are too scared to believe the Word of God. Let me tell you again, the bird in the hand ain't worth nothing if God's got a bird in the bush.
Yes, sir, don't try to be some kind of a eagle with buzzard feathers, a buzzard with eagle feathers. Go ahead and just be the reed eagle.
Now, the whole of our Christian lives have one purpose, to be trained up as the placed and manifested sons in the resurrection of the kingdom, to go on where Adam failed. Right. To go on where Adam failed.
God said, don't eat of that tree.
Now I said, all these other things are available.
That's just fine. But there's a certain thing that you've got to shun.
And we have literally in our day the same command. Get away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Get away from your thinking.
Amen.
Get away from the world. Get right back to that word. Now listen, I said we're going to go where Adam failed to go. I'm going to go back to Genesis 1:28 and show you something. I'm going to show you the perfection of the word of a prophet. And this is what I love. Because I love my prophet. Yep. I can smile. Toothless or otherwise when it comes to the prophet. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful. And multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the whole thing, earth and sea and air. And Brother Branham said that the woman caused an interruption.
And everybody said, an interruption? The man speaks a very peculiar language. Interruption? Absolutely. It was interrupted. Until the millennium. Now some of you guys criticize the prophet. He was so perfectly correct. He was too perfect.
But somebody'd like to change his word, wouldn't you? Huh? Or would you? I hope none of you do, because you're in trouble. When he said nature was interrupted, the plan was interrupted, it was the perfect word for the Word of God, the perfect word. Because that's all it is an interruption.
Amen.
Adam flunked the test. He wouldn't take the training. See? Yes, sir. A lot of people want manifestation like Ladder Rain does. Great big things and great big goodies. And come and watch me. And we're going to have this. And the rest of you guys are going to be so-and-so. Hogwash. You want to be a manifested son? Then get rid of the bird in the hand and go for the bird in the bush. Start knocking the present on the head and go for the future. Start putting down your own ideas and go for his. Now, this may strange sound strange in the light of the rebirth through grace. But it's not. Remember, the state and standing doctrine is true. We have a perfect standing before God, but what's our state? Our state is usually one of sleep. And slovenliness, carelessness. Not redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, because there are evil days, we have a chance to redeem time. It's only in the face of adversity we can make things count. You can never tell a man what he really is like in the face of his action. You have to watch his reaction. Because that's when he tears down.
Okay?
So, God sends these things. How do we stand? Yeah. So you see, listen. So you see there is a conduct, a course of life set forth in the Word that is required of us ere we reach that kingdom. And now needless to say, there are various aspects to consider. You know about the conduct. Going to the kingdom. So we consider them. Now, at the expense of being repetitious just to get my point across and follow the apostle endorsed repetition, so I'm in good ground. So you have good ears, so goody goody. Listen. The first we consider is Matthew 6. We go 24, 26, and 30. No man can serve two masters. Can't have your foot in one kingdom and your foot in the other kingdom. You can't provide for the future the same time you're providing for the present. I'm talking in terms of the kingdom.
Not in necessarily where you and I must do something about our welfare as we get old. It's only right to, you know, to watch in the world in the proper way, but never put it above the kingdom of God. See, that's what happened to even preachers. They got trapped in their pension. And the preachers got together, and guys like old Rockefeller gave the Baptists in America $1 million many years ago for their pension fund. What is that $1 million worth today? Likely several $100 million today. And now, how will the Baptists quit being Baptists? Dear old Daddy Baptist, 60 years old, said, well, now in 5 years I'm going to retire. I've been a faithful old servant to Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and along comes William Branham. And he says, his ears begin to flap. His eyes begin to bug him. And he said, nobody told me about this. He sniffed with his nostrils. He said, smells like God. But he said, just a minute. If I leave the Baptist, I lose my pension.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't mind you having a pension. I don't mind you having life insurance. I don't mind you having anything at all that's good for you, that's helpful, that shows you're industrious and wise and careful. What I'm talking about, is it a trap to you? Are you willing to let it go for the kingdom? I'm not talking about stupid old E. Bale that his wife worked in and he sold the refrigerator to buy a Sunday school bus. Oh, God, puke on that one. It took everything I had to be a jackass. Sunday school and buses? How sick could I get? Don't answer the question. My temperature's still there. Think I gave my refrigerator up. Huh? I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm talking about dead center reckoning. I reckon. Not with the human carnal mind, but by the word of God, I reckon. I like what, who was it? Oh, I got a lousy memory. Bob, who was that fellow that was in England, was a famous accountant and became a missionary? You know, I guess you know, maybe your memory's gone too. But anyway, they said to him, well, now look, you've got a great challenge, and you're over here in China. You're a missionary. You could use some money. We want you as an accountant for our firm. Why, he said, if the accountant of the Bible left to be missionary, how can a missionary now leave to be an accountant? You remember who he was? You know the story, I'm sure. That's what we're talking about. See? Human mind. No good. Where was I? Yeah. 26th verse. We're talking 24. No man can serve two masters. Now listen, let's get this. Oh, this is a tough baby. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said. Now, do you believe Jesus would tell you the truth? He sure does, but it sure hurts. How would you like to be like that guy written up in the Reader's Digest? That Saskatchewan guy, Vidal or something his name is. Here, the poor guy, he got this baler, this hay baler. And he thought maybe he could get the thing just working right with the gears rolling. And that's the most stupid thing he ever did. He should have stopped the thing and gone home and got help. But he said, I'll just put my hand up in there, and he was doing real good, and suddenly he found the other was caught in, and pretty soon two were caught in. Now he's hanging there, and nothing can be done, so the doctor comes and cuts up both arms. See? Pretty tough. People are that way, see? Now, he shouldn't have done it. See? Now look at what I'm talking about here. No man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. As that man was in serious trouble and lost his arms, so it is that anybody who refuses to follow what Christ said concerning the future kingdom will actually end up hating Jesus. Sure, that's right. You know why? Because the burden will pressure you so great you'll consider him a fearful taskmaster, yeah. An exactor of dues of which he has no reason to exact.
Yeah.
You'll lose the whole picture.
Yeah.
Everything goes out of focus. And the devil gets into your heart and mind. See? And then you'll pay the price of the man that lost his earnest. See, he did wrong. It was folly for him to attempt to do something in that area. Now, we are just as foolish. It says here you can't serve two masters. It says categorically he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. If you want to become a despiser of the kingdoms of this world, of the run-trickiness of the system, and be a lover of Jesus, you have got to follow this dictum. Start laying up treasures. Start doing something. Glass of cold water will not lose its reward. That's okay. Amen. Sending a little kind letter. Amen. Doing an act of cheerfulness. Yes. Going to the hospital. Giving somebody a smile. Yes. Giving them a cup of coffee. Start doing something.
Amen.
See? Start doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, I am not telling you a lie. I am telling you what has been forgotten for years amongst us. And we wonder what's wrong. But we palliate ourselves. Well, you must see that I believe the message that Brother Branham's going to do so-and-so, or he's not going to do so-and-so, or this will happen, or that will happen. And you've got it all figured. You're right. You're all wrong. If I preach Sunday morning here, I'm going to preach a sermon you'll misunderstand so bad I'll scatter you. But if you understand, you begin to walk with Jesus you never walked before, and you love your brothers you never loved him before. I've followed this message a long time, perhaps more than most of you. I'm going to tell you, don't you put too much faith in the fact that you say, I believe it. I got news that all the devils in hell believe too. And they're running scared, but a lot of us are running high-minded and proud.
Right.
I'm living in fear and trembling day by day. I don't know about you.
Yes.
I'm so sad and sick inside I want to go home and quit. I didn't even want to come here. And I want to go back home right now when it's over and just sit there and look out the window. But I got something better to do. Let's start doing more in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Start giving a few more cups of water. Start being a little more of a blessing. Yes, sir, because it said if you don't do it, you'll love one, which is the world, and you'll hate the other. Oh, yeah. You know why you'll hate the other? Because he's talking about identification of conduct demanded by two sources. And if you don't identify with the one conduct that is right, you will hate it, and therefore hate the source. If you identify with the conduct that is right, you will love it and love the source.
Yes, amen.
I'm sorry, folk, I'm not here in the explaining business too well. I am here in the preaching business. I did not write the book. But this is what the book says. There's too much talk of the family praying together, sticks together. The family that works together is the family that sticks together. Because anybody can pray. And there's too much praying, thy will be done on earth, and then say, let Joe do it. The 26th verse, now listen. Behold the fowl of the air. Okay. Head on down. Peruse it. Adam was to do that. Go and study nature. Learn all about it. See God in it. Then live it. Believe it. What are the fowl of the air? They don't sow. Fact is, they can't. They don't reap. But they sure can eat. They don't gather in barns. They sure make out. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Well, lucky for the bird.
And Jesus said, isn't it too bad that you were in a bird? I thought we were eagles. Are you not much better than they? Wherefore, verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is the more calves of them, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I told you yesterday, herein lay the validity of faith. Your faith becomes valid. It is not counterfeit. It will not fall by the roadside. It is the unadulterated sown commandment of God in your life that you are watering, and it will come forth. Now, in these three verses we find the mention of God. The word in the Greek is theos, which is God. And it does not have the meaning of a one who is worshipped, by the way. It does not mean Jehovah. It does not mean Adonai and so on. But it is theos, which means magistrate, judge. So, therefore it sets forth God as judicious. Huh? What a judicious person say, a bird in the hand is not to be worthy of a bird in the bush? They say, oh boy, some con artist here. Like Elijah. Woman, make me a cake first.
Yeah.
Oh, some con artist. I know you con artist creatures of bird. You want to eat the cake and be starved.
Yeah.
What would you be like if you had just enough for two little sticks you're going to cook it? What can two, it didn't say two trees. It's two little sticks. Well, he said, you make me a little bit first. Because I'm going to tell you something. You do that, and you're going to get fed like nobody else around here is being fed. Oh, she said, hallelujah. Glory to God. She'd all bake you a cake. Anything else you want? Oh, I like her. She's God's kind of a people. God's kind of a people. Just believe that word. See, God is magistrate, judge, judicious wife, the decision maker, the righteous advisor, the interpreter of the law, the one who sets the course of action. We say, Brother Dale, I thought that word God was just mean to be worshipped. And I say, hallelujah, Lord. You're a real fine God. And I know there's a verse in there about the sparrows. And I know there's a verse in there about the hair of the head. And I know there's a verse in there. And it's all so sweet, I'll make up a song about it. The judge is talking. The sentence has been handed down. The full effect of the forces, the behind the law now go into effect, and it says, do it! Or else. I'm going to tell you something. We're a little bit all screwed up in our thinking. Now, you Canadians in the same boat as Americans are. Do you know that you don't actually have to pay income tax? That's right. We don't in the States either. Because Congress has set the law that they can levy taxes and collect them. But when they set up the IRS, they boo-boo. And already the Supreme Court has passed on two cases where men refuse to pay taxes. And yet, Lee Vail pays taxes. And Bill pays taxes. And Bob pays taxes. Where are the rest of the Yankees? And all you dumb Canadians pay taxes. Like us dumb Yankees. Right? And the dumb Englishmen. You know what? Scared not to. Because the law has spoken. What about that law? He's not just saying, now I tell you, dear people, you have a choice. And wouldn't it be nice that if this became effective? There is a vast and great, or at least some possibility, that if you should consider seriously that the bird in the bush is better than the bird in the hand, you just might find
that the bird in the bush is better than the bird in the hand. That's a lot of hogwash. The bird in the bush is better than the bird in the hand.
See? Listen. Magistrate, judge, wise, judicious, decision maker, righteous advisor, interpreter of the law, setter of the courses. Well, you say,
that means I ain't part of the government. I'm just part of the, one who carries it out. Exactly. Exactly. You were not called in. You don't say, hey, judge, let me interpret the law for you. He said, I am the interpreter. Sit down. And the lawyer says, well, now, your honor, a dear honorable sir, I know the law, he said, but I know it better. Sit down. But your honor, certain judges said so-and-so, he said, and well, might they have, but I am the judge. Shut up and sit down. Or I will call you into contempt and boot you out. And fine you, and one more time, you smart off, I'll put you in the hoose gown.
Oh?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Well, Lord, I just don't think I'll do what you say, though.
Then where is the validity of faith, my brother, sister? He said, if I've fed those sparrows, and I've clothed the lady, your faith is now valid. I want to raise your faith, brother, sister. Here we go. Okay? Oh, boy, 3 o'clock it is. I told you, I got half the notes I had yesterday, so it's going to be twice as long. All right? We're going to do a little experiment. Years ago, when I discerned, and remember, everybody learns what the vernacular would call tricks. It really means ways of contacting. Now, one of the ways to discern is to make your mind up how you want to hear from God. And if you will exercise your faith persuasively, almost defiantly, willfully, unflinchingly, you can swing yourself into the Spirit. I was in Calvary one time, and a poor girl with headaches that drove her crazy could get no relief. She'd been prayed for by many people. And as I laid hands on her, the pastor said, forget it, Lee. Everybody's prayed for her. I don't know if she's hypochondriac or what, but she's always got her headaches. Well, fortunately, I had a little compassion. But I had a stubborn desire to find out and see if she could be helped. So I laid hands upon her, and I demanded that I know by the Spirit exactly what was the trouble with her head. I determined, and as I recall, I set my mind to see it. And that's one of the hardest things to do, is get a mental vision. It can be done, but I'm kind of scattered for it. Now, here's what I did. I'm going to do the same with you. I simply asked this question. Do you know what hour of the morning I was born? Every one of your mind suddenly went blank as you opened your mind to hear the hour I was born. Is that right? That's simple. I laid my hands on her and drew my blank because I knew nothing, with the expectancy of knowing from God, and her skull opened before me in a vision. I saw the two parts and the pinks and the purples and the veins and the crevices and the cracks and the creeks and so on. And in the middle of the brain, the size of a pea, was a little blood hemorrhage or something you'd call it, causing her a terrible pressure to drive her crazy. I was so happy to know the trouble, I cursed it. She never had a headache from that time on. Now, what I'm doing is this experiment. As good news, the law that I will give you, so that you will have a faith you have not had before. And I say to you, do you want to know how valid your faith is? And how right and proper your faith is. And that it will absolutely work. There is no doubt. Do you want to know? Open your mind and let your heart go while I say, wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is to more cast heaven. How much more shall he clothe you, O little of little faith? And you say, then I'm clothed. I've got no fear. It's over. Then you lock it down here. Brother, sister, there has got to be a decision made sometime which master you're going to follow. To cast fear out of your eyes. To make sure you can put your life on the altar and go down that road toward the lion's den if necessary. It can be done. And it's got to be done. Or you'll be trying to serve two masters, or you'll be going around saying, well, you see, if you believe the prophet's message as I do, because I got the revelation. Yuck. Nope. There's something more that's just taught me. Now listen, verse 24, a distinctly judicious statement that forever settles all arguments. No man can serve two masters. Can't ride two horses at one time. Can't be here and there at the same time. Now this is the judicious statement handed down by God. You cannot serve two masters, so stop trying it. Therefore, every effort must be expended to find some way to serve. The purpose you're put on earth here for is to lay up treasure. Follow me? That means, young people, your education must be blended toward God. You cannot set your heart to make money. You cannot set your heart to be a doctor to get a great salary. You set your heart as a doctor to be merciful. As Brother Branham said to the old doctor, lying there in that bed dying, and he was wondering about God, and Brother Branham said, you showed mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy.
Hallelujah.
What do you young people want to be? You men are so anxious to be somebody's wife. What for? Why do young men want to be somebody's husband? What for? I bet you never gave this a thought, that you might glorify Almighty God. I've seen people putting their little letters, you know what I mean, and say, United to glorify God, and I want to vomit. Yet I shouldn't. I'm too doubtful to believe. A little tricky statement, because I never seen it follow too good. I'm going to tell you what's marriage all about. Representative Christ and the bride. And is that how you felt about your marriage? Huh? Are children to be born simply by sexual desire? Sure, they will be. That's part of it. But is that it? Huh? Now we're getting right down to truth, brother, sister. See, we're bugged so much. You don't need to be bugged. The point is, it can't serve two masters. The judicious statement, it cannot be done. Why are people nervous and frustrated? Because the devil's got one lick coming? Oh, that's not bad at all, the one lick he's got coming. The big thing in here is disobedience to Scripture that makes us the most nervous. I don't care about the devil. Hogwash on him.
Yes, amen.
All he can do is destroy my body, but there's the one who can destroy my body and soul. That's the one they have to fear of. Now, heard two masters, and it settles all arguments. I have nothing to do with this. I must obey it. The kingdom comes first. In other words, taking precedence. That whatever is done according to the word of Almighty God and within the framework of the word of Almighty God. All right. Notice. It has to be the basis because of the coming kingdom. Because in the coming kingdom, Christ is supreme and the bride serves him. What kind of a bride is going to be serving the supreme king who doesn't know the first thing about obedience down here? Well, let's face it. See? The basis of the coming kingdom. One master. And not just a comment, but the irrevocable pronouncement. If you don't do it, there's a hate campaign going to go on in your house. Now listen, brother, sister, I'm serious this morning. And I don't know how to put it across. God knows I did not write this, but I've got enough brains to read it and to know what it says. It says you cannot serve materiality. Under no condition can you be bound by it. Yet I've heard preachers in this message say, at least I'm told it was said by a certain preacher, I must be doing something right. Look at all the money coming in. Another guy boasting that $250,000 a year goes through my hands. Thank God no $250,000 goes through my hands. I couldn't even handle $40,000. Well, put that where you want to put it. See? You're not spiritual because you got a plug nickel, and you're not spiritual because you ain't got a plug nickel. See? Can't serve God and man. Can't do it. Can't do it! William Branham, the paradox of the ages.
Yeah.
Oh, said Churchill, give us the tools, we'll do the job. And the Canadians, who couldn't afford to keep Canadians, dug down and gave Britain $1 billion. Yeah. Charity begins at home. I got slugged out, born over here. Don't kid me. You know, I left one of the reasons, not just because God wanted to go, but you couldn't be a Canadian. You could be a Chinese. What are you, Canadian? What a Frenchman. But you couldn't be Canadian. Well, what are you doing here? I can't be a citizen of some kingdom. Fool you on it. But I am a citizen of his kingdom. Ooh, that's good. And he wants me to be a citizen of his kingdom. And he doesn't say, now, son, you is a part of this here place here. But you ain't no part of my citizenship. I'm a tough former Canadian. I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but I'm telling you why. Yeah. Can't serve God and men. Are you part of his kingdom? Am I? Serve him. Yeah, they couldn't understand, Brother Branham, no. Churchill could say, give us the tools, give us the money. So then Osborne and all the rest said, give us the money, give us the tools, we'll do the job. When did money do the job?
Amen.
I said before, and I'll say it again, the money could do the job, I'll rob a bank and kill the guy that's going to stop me. Because what's one life expended if I could win thousands? Somebody's sick and I'm not. Money doesn't mean a thing.
Amen.
Whether you got it or don't got it. See? See? Materiality. Now, it's been settled. 26 to 30, I read them. Therefore I say take no thought and so on. Again, listen, the judicious statement, which is absolutely reasonable, simple and factual, again forever settles the question. That's why I said a while ago, do you want active permanent faith? Then look around you. This world's been here for 4 billion years. Huh? How long you been here? Right. The homes, the trees that your homes were built out of. How many years have they been here? If you got one of the giant redwoods, it could be what, 2,000 years, something like that, a sequoia? What did you build your house out of, a rock? 4 billion years. How many birds were extinct by themselves? None. Look around you. Reason. Senses exercised spiritually unto Holy Ghost reasoning. And gives your faith validity. If God could do all of this and does all of this.
Yes.
And I've got no problems.
Amen.
Now look at, we're preaching just plain simple bread and butter this morning. God would share a little secret. I'm trying to help me. Maybe even more than trying to help you. Because I don't think there's anything anybody can major in greater than faith by love. See?
The validity. The judicious statement. This is it. Can't serve you, Master. And then the calm oil of the Holy Ghost-inspired Word pouring over your soul saying, don't let it bug you. Don't let it bother you. It's not as big as it looks. It's not as hard as it sounds. I want to tell you something. Have you ever seen anybody as pretty as that lily out there? Oh boy, these gals that coiffed themselves. Notice the Bible talked to Solomon in all his glory. But now it's Willie Mae in all her beauty. Because Brother Branham said any teenage bikini bopper is a whole lot prettier than Pearl Bryant or whoever it was he said was pretty in her day. And so Madam Beautiful walked by. I like my wife to look pretty in pretty clothes, but I got news for her and news for you. I ain't ever expecting her clothes to look half as nice as a rose or a little old lily I'd pick up and say, oh man, say, now Alex, and I do admit you a pretty girl, all right. I wouldn't have married an ugly one. And I think she looks better as time goes on, too. Of course, my eyesight could be failing. But I'm going to tell you something. She'll never touch a lily. You say, what about you? Let's not talk about me. Some of you women here are beautiful. There's no doubt about it. But you ain't a patch on a lily. I'm sorry. No. I don't care what you do. And you men can lift your barbells and your biceps and the muscles can ripple and, oh, you can look like Mr. Universe.
You ain't nothing. When I pick a little crocus, a little flower of the spring, and my eyes bug, and I sit there and I look. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning. Forget yourself. Just look out there what God does for the insignificant, then what will He do for His own elect children?
Oh my.
Not just great, big, fantastic, mountain-moving things. Forget it! I don't care 2 cents for the mountain-moving stuff. For the prophet said, when that sweet spirit comes against you, gifts, as it were, go on the shelf, and the spirit of God moving, as it were, the devil bound, and watch what begins to happen. Adorn your homes with flowers, brother, sister, for a while, and every day go by and take a look and say, isn't it wonderful how He takes care of these? Boy, am I lucky, wow. Because I've got so much better care than take care of.
Yes, amen.
He said, the flower gets chucked in the oven, it's gone. But he said, I want to tell you, little faith, get that faith on you. The validity, see?
So we find the spiritual law. That great spiritual law. It is this. When you come into the kingdom of God by rebirth, whether you knew it then or know it now, you come under a totalitarian, infinite sovereign of complete authority whose wisdom gives Him the right of supreme control over all of our ways. Catholic preacher will preach God to God.
He can do what he wants, and he can trouble you if he wants, and he can make you wrong. But I'm not an average preacher. I'm below average, so therefore I have enough brains to tell you that his infinite wisdom. Yes, infinite wisdom, which means no better way to do it. No other way. Oh, the only way when you speak it through, and he has spoken. Now, if I can just get that into my heart, which I can, because mechanical faith becomes spiritual faith, I can. You can too, right? You can? That's it. I can do it. I can do it. So we can. You say, what if I don't do it? I didn't say that. And you didn't say that. Because I know if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But you can do it. Like I can throw this book out here. I didn't have to. Well, if I want to throw it out there, I can do it. He said, Brother Dave, you're vulgar. Who said I was? You follow me? I can do it. I really can do it. And I've done it. But the thing is to make it away. Yes, sir. Here is the spiritual law. When you come into the kingdom of God by rebirth, whether you knew it then or know it now, and you do know it now, you come under a totalitarian, infinite sovereign of complete, unmitigated, unwavering, irrevocable authority, whose wisdom, the magistrate, gives him the right of supreme and only control over all of our issues. Right, I'm sorry about that if you think different. As the head or mind governs the body through its wisdom, so God, Holy Spirit, is meant to govern us. The definition of the word mind will give us more insight. The mind is the mental or intelligent power in man. It's a power. It's not just a little receptacle, a reservoir, although that does have a part. It is a power. The power that conceives, judges, reasons, wills, imagines, remembers, or performs any other intellectual operation. The understanding. That's what it is. So, let us go to Scripture. For another 2.5 minutes. It's going to be good because one day my throat's going to wear out and you're going to be all right. Yes, sir, everything works together for good. Not my good, your good. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Brother Bale will unwind. One day. Yes, now, Philippians, the 2nd chapter, beginning verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, as he called God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, humbled himself. He came of being a death, even a death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him, and gave him that every a name above every name. And now, you and I, let this mind be in you and me, though we have the power of our mind, and our own lives at our own discretion. We were born with intelligence. We were born with mental faculty. We were born with physical power, and we can use them any way we want to use them. But be like Jesus. Bring yourself down under a headship. Humble yourself. Get yourself out of the way. Stop trying to reason. Reason drives you crazy. Hey. All right. Also, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 12th verse, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Oh, man. Happen any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerns thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither does any creature not manifest his sight, but all things are made naked before him, the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now that's the power of that word, see? I want to help that with you. Now, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. You all know what I'm going to say.
1-5. Now Baptists teach you by meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence of base among you. Notice that, just what I've been saying here, but being absent and bold towards you. Just the mind of Christ now. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as though we walked according to the flesh when we do. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, the warfare is over. We're committed to God. Peace and satisfaction comes in with this decision. Now, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not mine, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now what? Listen. Casting down reasoning. The word in the Greek is not imagination, it's reasoning. If I let the bird in my hand go, or the bird in the bush, I don't know that I'll get the bird in the bush. Ha ha ha, you will. If I don't look out for myself, then God won't. Aha, you're wrong, but he will. They said himself he saved others, but himself he cannot save. That's a lie, because he saved the entire seed which was himself.
Yeah.
Sure, cast down your reasoning, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and what's the highest part of your body? Right here on the top, the little pointy top. Where the brain is so called. Bring it down.
Yeah.
Stop trying to think. God's been so good, he said, you can even have such a rest, you don't have to think. Or he thought it out for you. You talk about a solved job if he just got smart. Everything exalts itself against God's God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
The warfare of the mind is greater than Armageddon. The greatest battle ever fought is to come to the conclusion, my mind ain't worth nothing, but his is worth everything, so God, you go ahead.
Amen.
And mean it. And having done all to stand, stand. Old Luther couldn't blame you. Stand I by the grace of God, forget it, he said.
And God swept the world on the sake of that one name.
See, what else can I do?
I'm stuck. Old prisoner of Christ.
Yeah.
See? All right. The least we can do is apply this much to God. That is our headship. That's the only thing we can do. His authority. We need to start right there. And we can see this in Scripture vividly. That is his sovereignty. His dictate. His commandment,
his law.
No questioning. Let's read some on this. Because we got to nail the thing down so that the mind becomes bothered and says, I quit, God take over. As long as you and I can fiddle around and question this and question that, forget it. That's why Brother Branham said, just believe it. The exact statement about his wife was, I'm sure it was the sermon on the anointed ones at the end time, and Brother Branham said, he said, everybody that understands this, raise your hand, and because he had so thoroughly taught me on the subject, for the book's sake, before the sermon was preached, I was able to raise my hand, I thought, that I really knew, although years later I found out how little I knew. And she walked out, she said, Bill, I couldn't raise my hand, because she said, I didn't know if I understood. And tears rolled down his cheeks, he said, he only believe, only believe. You don't have to understand the logic, but you don't have to figure it. It's already been figured. Isaiah the 40th chapter 13 and 14, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor taught him. Who don't took the counsel, who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him in the way of understanding. In other words, he's saying, what are you guys yapping about down there? What do you think you know anyway? I'm the one that's telling you. And nobody ever told me, and nobody ever will. Now, put up and shut up. Yep. 21-23. Hath he not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? I wish it had been told in the beginning. Have you not understood the foundation of the earth? Which he had. It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, just jumping around, jumping around, jumping around, jumping around, jumping around. Oh boy, hot diggity dog, what a ball. No sense of direction. You jump, 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 jump. Everything grasshopper, jump, jump in water, jump in fire, jump, jump, jump. That sure doesn't sound like sheep. Stretcheth the heavens of the as a curtain, spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and makes the judges of the earth vanish. Smartest guys in the world that pass the laws, that interpret the laws, that are supposed to be the authority, and he said, be nothing love. He said, you want to come to somebody that's got it? Come to me. And then he said, I'm going to let you know the secret. My foolishness is smarter than their smartness. Oh boy, what a kick in the teeth. 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Creator, the Lord, the Creator of the earth, faint of not, nor is weary, neither is there any searching of his understanding. In other words, don't try to figure it out. How in the world can a bird in the bush be worth more than a bird in the hand? Don't try to figure it. You can't do it. Just believe. You know, the happiest people in all the world are those that are slightly stupid. The smart guy drives himself nuts. Yep. The uneducated kiddies that don't have to know, but just use it. They're the ones that have got them. And that's the way Christians should be, just like a little child. Say, well, Daddy said so. Yes, sir. Isaiah 45 and chapter 9. See, we're telling you why that this law is as it is, and so there's no comeback. What I'm trying to do this morning is to settle our hearts and minds on a law by an unchangeable God that says, this is it, do it. We're using a little posture this morning like they do in the army training. They train you until you're an automaton, where you don't have a mind of your own. You act and react according to a training. Like Pavlov's dog. When the bell rings, your mouth waters. So you and I, when there's a choice, we say, God have it. God have it. God have it. We become conditioned. We're taking too long to get there. I am anyway. Boy, I hope somebody catches this morning. If just somebody catches it, I'll be one of the happiest men in the world, even if I miss it all the time. I'm not lying, gentlemen. I've got a zeal for God's integrity. Listen to it. Isaiah 45 and 9, warned to them that strives with his maker. Yeah. Lord, what are you doing this for? What's it going this way for? Let the potsherd, that's the broken pieces of a pot, strive with the potsherds of the earth. You ever hear anything so stupid? A bunch of crackpots. Oh, pardon the expression. I guess I shouldn't use that because there are too many crackpots around here anyway. I don't mean you. I just mean the world. But that's what a sherd is. It's a chunk of crockery. It's a crack, a piece of a pot, a bunch of pots. Now, here's a bunch of pottery crack. And thrown on the ground. Can you visualize them fighting each other? Fussing with each other? No, they just lie there. Huh? Yeah. Where's the reading from? 45:9. Yeah. Let the potsherds drive the potsherds of the earth. Now, in other words, here's you to put it this way. You and I can strive. You and I can fight. Let's say what's right and what's wrong. Let's say, did he do right? Did he do well? Was this the way it should be? Was that the way it should go? But don't try with God. See? Shall the clay say to him that fashioned, why hast thou, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hand? In other words, we're laying down the law here, brother, sister, that I would to God somebody had trained me as a child. To take in my fertile mind when I had one. When I hungered and thirsted for someone to teach me the right way. And I did want it desperately. And say, listen, Ken, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you know the real secret. And they'd have read me the book of Proverbs. and laid it out in the word of Almighty God. See, this is the way it is, kid. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And know one thing. You don't talk back to God. You don't question God. You don't try to interpret God. You don't try to understand. You just take what he said and do it. Now, faith does not say in his heart, who shall bring him down? And faith does not ask, who shall bring him up? Faith does not ask questions. Now, let's get this straight. Men do not ask questions, it's women that ask questions. It is a trait amongst women that drives me crazy. I know about you men, but I'm going to tell you. This is psychologically absolutely the truth. Women ask questions, men don't. Men just listen. If a man said, I met to another man, I saw Mr. Joe today, he'd say, fine. You say to a woman, I saw Mr. Joe, oh, did you? Was he right with you? Where was he? Can't help themselves. But they should. Now, I'm not running women down and making a point here. Bride is woman. And the stern finger of God says, shut up and listen. This is why the man is the head and the woman is in silence. But the church says, Lord, why is it this way? And Lord, why is it that way? And God says, shut up. A woman is the one that caused the fall. She can't talk. I'm talking about the church. See what we're saying here? Priority. A priority is a priority. It's first. It doesn't mean it could be first if I wanted it first. It is first because it is first. And he tells you flat that two follows one. One does not follow two. 19th verse. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. He said, I did not make up some little thing and hide it. I came directly and told the seed of Jacob, this is what I want and it's right. Do it. This helps you with the message why Brother Nana said certain things. 22:23. Look at me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, there's none else beside me. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Notice, every single time, righteousness. He said, you can depend on me. It is not only correct, it is the vital essence of myself that is at stake. Listen, God is at stake. God is on the spot with his word. I'm not the spot. I'm just like a crazy idiot put myself on the spot. So are you. God's on the spot. I didn't say it. I'm not a backup nothing. notice what I'm saying this morning. Do you follow me? The kind of a God he is. Our relationship in there. He brings his word. He validates it. He stands behind it. He all but comes down and says, look, can't you understand and get it? And Melchizedek did come down. Open the book, show us the whole thing. And we're still piddling around. Oh, you got to believe this. Oh, you got to believe that. Oh, you're right. Now, is that laying up treasure? Knocking your brother out? You got to be sick. Thank you for your no amen, preacher under conviction. Don't worry, I've been there a long time. What do you think a preacher's way for? Why do you think I'm burdened day and night? The hardest job is to believe a thing with all your heart and not make it hard on anybody when you can believe this with all your heart and take everybody with you. Unless you get the two together, something's wrong in Denmark, and it's not the cheese either. God's word is enough. All right. Oh, good. We're just great. Two more hours to go. Matthew 6:24. You just pray I'll lose my voice and everything's going to be fine. I got a terrible way of recovering during the night. He giveth his beloved sleep. 24, again. No man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. Hold to one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, let me belabor verses 22 and 3 with it. The light of the eye is the body is the eye. If thine, therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body full of darkness. If therefore the light that's in to be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, we can completely fool ourselves that we have the truth and we don't have it. And we can quote, and quote, and come up like New York did, quote himself for 3.5 hours, and then say what the prophet did not say, because the prophet did not say the seven thunders were the seven virgins. Hang it, I'll give you $1,000,000 if I got to rob a bank and kill a man to do it. I challenge you, because Buddy Lee Vail's got the quotes at home, and they're piled this high. Not one place did he say it. And don't draw your conclusion. And then when the chips are down, start screaming and calling people prejudiced filth.
Oh, I'm in high spirits this morning, but I'm not bad and not malicious.
I should just play you the tape and let you know what happens to people when they say that they know and put people out of the bride and call them second cousins and truly virgins and they claim they got it. And when the pressure's on, watch the feathers begin to fly. You call people prejudiced filth. Huh? How great can be a darkness if you don't get your sights right to begin to put treasures up there and think you're smart to run around instead of assembly and say, oh, hallelujah, look at the people following me. Well, if you try to follow me, drop dead. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't getting on my back. Every man shall bear his own burden. You do your own thing, I'll do mine. I'm not going to try to influence you, fool you on you and that nonsense. Come into my camp. I ain't got no camp. Follow him outside where the persecution is. Get your eyes single. Yeah. Try laying up treasure. Not running around trying to mess up churches. To say, believe it this way or that way. Get somebody else's fruit. Get your own.
Preach it, Brother Dale. You did. Thank you, buddy.
What a blessing to be one-minded. What one-minded? You know the message you got. Lay up treasure. Someone who wins souls, that's not laying up treasure, winning souls. Laying up treasure is your daily life and walk.
Amen. Amen.
Winning souls, fine. When all you can. Prophet said, even told me, and I'm not a man. But I tell everybody else who wins souls, because prophet said so. One minded, God minded. What problems and confusion to attempt to serve God's mind by our own mind, and how unnecessary in the light of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 11 to 14, where the scripture tells us the natural man just can't do anything about it, so forget it. You say, Brother Bear, what do we have then? We have the Holy Ghost. Well, what is the Holy Ghost? The Word of God, my brother, my sister. So we took care of that. Now I trust we're getting a definition of our understanding of the great priority. I would put it this way. The constant recognition of God in all things and the constant awareness of His presence in our behalf. That's what He said. Don't think about the future. Don't worry about the bird in the hand. Start looking at the bird in the bush. Start looking at the unseen. Start getting away from the world and the things of the world. Start getting up here where I am. Get the same mind I got. Oh, you say, Lord, then did that really mean that I'm constantly recognizing you? I'm always aware of your presence and it's in my behalf. Because you said, if those sparrows out there are fed, and the lilies are so beautiful, which I admit they are, I'm very pretty myself now, Lord. Oh, yes, I can really clean it. But I will admit, Lord, that the lily is pretty. Pardon my sarcasm, but I got to... Huh? See what I mean?
Sovereign God. Validity of faith. Dynamic pronouncement. I'll do it. Then God, I can put you first. That's right. William Branham did it. That's why he kept swinging the token at us. Hold that token unwaveringly over those faithful promises of God. See? All right. I never keep a promise, so they're only meant to be broken anyway. So I got to put that to forethought. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. I'm going to quickly read verse of Scripture. That's one of my biggest failings I have over till all the time. Scripture, 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 Scripture. Maybe I could use two or three and do the job. The 13:5-6 in Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, man. Let the way you live be without just want that stuff. Be content with such things as you have. For he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, learn this, that God will never leave you stranded. Never, even though it looks tough. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do. We ought to get some inoculations on that thing. Get our faith up. In the 8th verse, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he was to Paul, he's to me. What he was to William Branham, he is to me. I will not have William Branham's office, but I will have William Branham's God. Amen. I will not have his ministry, but I'll have his minister, which is God. See? Okay, 1 Thessalonians. I should have written them all down, just gone too snappy. This chapter 16-18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. That's what the scripture says. This is the will of God. Many things people go through, they don't believe it's the will of God, but if it wasn't the will of God, how can God be sovereign? The devil can't come in and take over. I remember a friend of mine went down the Virgin Islands. Poor kid went down there backed by a few people. Of course, being a Trinitarian, his name stayed with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is no laughing matter, because that's what he understood. And he did his best to serve God. He couldn't find a house. He found an old cave to live in. The heat was oppressive. The humidity was horrible. The kids began to break out in sores. Everybody had talked it was a fertile mission field. Nobody was getting saved. It was a bunch of malarkey. They rode home to keep their paychecks rolling down there. It was the most a barren place. And he was so discouraged until he read this. And he began thanking God. Now look, I don't think it's necessary to thank God for boils and sores. But what the idea is to thank God that God's God and he's there and you're going to be victorious. But anyway, he went the full limit. He went whole hog. He thanked God for the musty condition. He thanked God for the stinking condition. He thanked God for the sores. He thanked God for the sickness. He thanked God for the darkness. He thanked God for spiritual barrenness. He thanked God for everything. And one day the light broke. Souls began to get saved. He stood in the street corner, and a drunken prostitute would come by, devil possessed, and she'd dance and dig and point her finger, carry on, and smirk and scowl and everything else, and nobody could do a thing. And one day he rose up in the Holy Ghost and condemned her, and she went like this, and took up, passed out, went down the street. She never came back. Devils were cast out, people healed, they were saved. Everything give thanks. This is the will of God. Well, now, Lord, I don't think it is your will. Hogwash, he said it was. See? Preeminent. Let me tell you, brother, sister, I am not kidding you. The trouble is we're looking for a shortcut, for a gift and miracle ministry to put it on, to put it off, to do it here, to do it there, and that's all he does, can have his roughing experience of a Holiday Inn, air-conditioned, with screen windows, as he looks at the lake and eats good food, yum, yum, yum. For this is the will that he wants for himself.
Yeah.
But I have been down the road, my brother, sister, with nothing. I have been down there with the kids running away from home. I have been down there with no hope except God, and it works. Oh, I would love the air-conditioned hotel. I would love the Millennium right now, but I ain't going to get it right now.
I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to get a very big part either unless I begin acting as though I really am a citizen of that kingdom. Neither are you. See? Philippians, the fourth chapter. 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me inward strength. Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of glory, that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And when Brother Branham had that picture taken in Grass Valley, I think it is, or someplace in California. You know the one with the big lilies on it, and the flames of fire. All right, people couldn't figure out what that kind of death said was behind Brother Branham. That emaciated looking form that kind of looked like it might be the head of Christ. And Brother Branham told me what it was. I don't know if it's on a tape or not, but I think it is. He explained it to me. He said, "Feeling, one day I was complaining before God and asking God for consolation. And God said, why should I give you consolation when I already gave it to you and you didn't even look at it?" He said, "Lord, what are you talking about?" He said, "Those pictures that Brother Elgin Bright took, get them from under your bed in your suitcase." He pulled up the suitcase and the Lord said, "I'll explain it to you." He said, "See those licks of fire? That's the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost manifest in your life. And see that bugger, that goes with the, I forget how it was, the shield of faith and so on." And there you think. And then he said, "Well, what's that behind me there?" He said, "That is the outer man perishing, but the inner man being renewed day by day." Sure. Things with might in the inner man. Samson in his death older, taking more in victory than he ever took in a lifetime. We're running out the seven churches, but there's time till they have treasures in heaven.
Amen.
There are hours that are down the road if we only want to do it. Yes, sir. Second Corinthians. Oh, it's too bad the Bible's so full of these goodies, and then again, it's a good thing it is. Sure saves me working my brain because it's got to read it. The third chapter and the 5 and 6 verse. Now, not that we are sufficient ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Yes.
Oh, brother, sister, can we get an understanding from Matthew? I am God, I have spoken, don't you doubt it, and I'm all for you, and I'm showing it to you. Paul learned his lessons that our sufficiency is of God. Oh, brother, what a sufficiency. Oh, man, oh, man. Who have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The Word itself doesn't do you the good. It's the revelation that Word's reading you. God Himself. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Paul speaking here. And he said to me, "Thy grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." How we hate ourselves because we're fallible. We like to rise up and say, "Look at me. Oh, I'm a strong man. I can resist temptation. I can do the mighty thing. I'm a great God." Hallelujah. Oh, the Pentecost will do that to perfection. Yes, I'm sorry, I'm not a Pentecost. I'm just putting it on. We love to be able to do it. And Paul said, "I love to be able to see, I can do it, and I know better than to try it." Yes, sir. The old black lady, you know, she'd be pretty good at much of a tippler. I guess when she worked in these homes, a lot of money and a lot of booze, it wasn't hard because she kept drinking liquor. So one day she got saved, and so the devil came by with a big bottle of whiskey. And man, one sniff was just about enough to put her in orbit. And she just said, "Look, Mr. Devil, I can't handle you. I just want to get you to let Jesus take care of this guy." True. You know, simplicity, brother, sister, is greater than people think.
Yeah.
I think about this fellow one day, the preacher got up and he said, the guy, he said, "How am I going to get saved?" Well, he said, "Just say, Lord Jesus, come in." Throw open the door of your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, come in." So the guy didn't understand. He went home, threw open the back door. He said, "Lord Jesus, come in." He came in. Simplicity. God meant it. I'll tell you something. You don't think you believe that, but you do. That's why you're here. If you really didn't believe it, you wouldn't be here this morning. You really believe it, but you won't give yourself credit for it.
That's not right, brother.
That's not right. You are sons of God. You do have faith. God gave everybody a measure of faith.
Amen.
Everybody's got his own proportion. That makes ministries. Brother Branham said so. Listen. I can't read them all. Romans 14:7-8. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to self. Whether therefore we live or die, whether we live with the Lord, whether we die with the Lord. And whether we live or die, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord. In other words, he's showing us here, as Paul did in the other chapter. I want you to know, there, after the death of Moses to serve the Lord, he came to pass, the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant. And Moses' servant saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Don't sit here and weep and mourn. To say it's over, get up. William Branham's dead. Sit down and forget it all. Get up. See? Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, the land which I give them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that of it given you, as I said to Moses. And so on to the coast, the going down of the sun. No man shall stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. It came down with the word is the same God that's going to put us in a rapture.
Amen.
Be strong and of good courage. In front of this people thou shalt divide burn inheritance the land. It's inheritance time now. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it right hand or left hand, that you may prosper with us. Here we go. And this book of the law not depart of your mouth. You meditate day and night in it, that you may observe to do all according to written therein, that for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then you're going to have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Notice the same thing I said in Matthew 6. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed. Because I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm with you whether you know it or not. There you are, Hebrews 13:5-6 again. Yes, sir. Now, I'm going to skip this. But we could take what we're talking about in the life of Abraham to trace it because we're his children. The verses are in Genesis 15:1, Genesis 18:1-5, Genesis 22:7-14, chapter 21-7, compare to 2 Timothy 2:13. And you could take Genesis 15:1 and compare it to Matthew 7:24-25. I'm just going to skip it. And I'm going to swing back now to Philippians, the second chapter, because time goes and I got to get you out of here. Philippians. Oh, boy. But it's nice there's so much in the Word of God, because then you see if you miss one, you're sure to get the other. All right. 2 and the 13th verse. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now notice it. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the instrument whereby Matthew 6 is put into effective force. A man say, Brother Vail, I can't do it, you're entirely wrong. You certainly can, because it's God in you.
Amen.
See? All right, 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I think it's 2 Corinthians, yes. We'll sure go there and find out anyway. And 3-4. Seek ye a proof of Christ speaking in me, which you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. In other words, brother, sister, he's telling you, I don't care what life is encumbered with, which is not only your own living within yourself, but living amongst others. The complete will of God concerning this subject is guaranteed to perfection by Christ in us. As I said the other day, and I asked for a raise of hands, how many can honestly feel broken down inside, and with the love, and your barriers let down, your hair let down, to take to each other's heart? Oh, we're a suspicious people. We're a funny people. To really open up our heart like a hotel and say, come in. Oh, listen, some of you raised your hands. I had to raise mine first. It's hard to do. I'm a suspicious person. I'm going to tell you something. No need for it. I got God. He made me able to do it.
Amen.
I can open my heart and take anybody in, just be like a whole kid. Yep, doesn't mean I'm going to be made a fool of and a sucker. Just means I got love.
Amen.
I can do it. You can do it. Well, Paul said, look, he said, I'm weak, but he said, I got somebody strong.
Amen.
And the person of Christ forgave I it. And the person of Christ forgave, loved everything else. Because we are full of the Holy Ghost. Children of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See? The 23rd Psalm is a perfect picture of His presence. Not what they're trying to tell us from some who believe a certain way this message, and they make up all kinds of things like the light over the Empire State Building, and barley falling on it, and a golden triangle, and in Fort Wayne, where the River Joseph and the River St. Mary are going to bring forth Jesus. Well, I got news for the whole bunch of them. Lee Vale, for 17, 16 years, has been dead beside the still water. I live on the banks of the Stillwater River in Ohio, so I've got my soul restored twice and in my three times on the way round. Hogwash. Such asininity. You live here and it's going to be a great thing. You live there and it's some big thing. Live in the Word, my brother, my sister. Forget your cotton-picking geography. I never heard of such junk being preached in this message. Oh, I know everything means something, but it doesn't mean nonsense, or maybe it does. Carnal typing and carnal bunk. Yeah, amen. Fella preached the tape against me the other day, and he said this teacher that they've made an absolute doesn't even know. And that the headship has arrived. He's looking for the headship of the millennium. I should send him my sermon on the parousia where I prove, as no man living has ever proved, because of the prophet, that he is here. Get off the words. You'll soon start telling lies and getting geographical ideas and everything else. I've got news, you smarten up. Smarten up and start serving God through serving your brother. Start giving the cup of cold water, not handing out your tracts. Blasting somebody. Proving you've got some idea that makes you super, super. Don't talk to me about it. I've been through it. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're part of the brand. Oh, yeah. Well, I can believe that. No problem. But don't come around and tell me I got to believe what you believe about a certain thing that I don't got. And I don't. And you don't got to believe what I believe. And you shouldn't. Yeah, well, you say you're enough. I didn't say I wasn't. Revelation chapter 1 is a blessed chapter to remember. Over here in Revelation 1 and 12. It's all part of the subject. Don't worry. The Bible all comes together. At least it does to me. I don't know about you. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. That is a conversational voice, which means I can talk to God and He can talk to me. Yes, sir. Turned to see the voice, to see if it was a scriptural voice. The 16th verse, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance as the sun shines in strength. Verse 20, the midst of seven stars that you saw in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, the seven messengers, the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Now there he is, guaranteeing his presence through the seven church ages. And now at the end time, we are in his presence, and he is with us in a greater and more wonderful way than ever. Age, we've never been without him. Age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but in age 7, oh, how he comes down. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, as Brother Branham taught us, and it's absolutely perfect with the original Greek and the great scholars who couldn't figure it. Now he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to come right down here on earth with a message. Yes, sir, thanks for the amen. You're perfectly right. I'm going to quote the prophet, buddy. Don't worry. I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself, being I was preaching this message. I've got no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And the Bible does not say the voice is the voice of Jesus, but He comes down through the voice. The Word. Christ, the Word, descends. I preached to him, Brother Gunther, not long ago. He didn't catch it. Go back over it. On Christ Himself revealing Himself. It'll tough to get at times, but it's there. My voice even against the dead of judgment. I wanted to be a trapper, but it's the will of my Father I declare to do and am determined to do. I was not the one that appeared down the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one to sneer when he does it. I was only a voice that he used. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It wasn't me. It wasn't the seven messenger. It was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It was the manifestation of the man. It was not the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man, or the messenger was it. He was a messenger from the Son of Man.
Amen.
The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. Man's word will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of Christ. Listen to what he says here. See, they had a testimony that they had seen the Lord, and others didn't believe it. He upbraided them because the heart is their heart. They didn't believe these people who had seen that he was not dead. He's alive. Now listen, same thing today. When you see his works. Now, we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, the appearing and coming is two different words. To appear and then to come. Now in this, now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days. Right here with us in the last few years. It's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in the church in the form of the Holy Spirit. Showing that it's him. Cause people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now the remember is spoken to play both places, appearing and coming. Huh? So, Jesus himself by the Spirit, through the prophet, wrought the word, revealing himself, placing himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. Right. Presence right here. What bothers me is this, who's recognizing? The biggest discussion right now is Brother Branham, is he going to come back with a great ministry, a third pull? A super ministry, return ministry, all that. I'm not against it. I'm all for it. I don't understand what he's going to do when he gets here. That's his business and God's not mine. I understand the sin. I'm not trying to figure the third pull. I know there's a third pull. There's many facets of it. I don't understand it all. It doesn't mean because I don't understand, you don't understand. You could well understand if you could have it all. I don't know. But I just know this one thing. While he is here, why are they looking so hard for Brother Branham and not looking at him? Now, I'm looking for Brother Branham. Don't misunderstand me. Because if he doesn't get here, forget it. I'm looking for him. You bet I am. And I'm not looking to just walk around and say, howdy, bub, howdy, bub, howdy, bub. Oh, no. No, you read when Jesus came back, he could be. He ate fish even. Brother Brand said, I never could figure if he really ate fish and bread or not. Brother Brand said he just said it. He declared and revealed things. Oh, yeah. I'm in the middle of the road with this subject. Let's get this straight. He's coming back. I don't understand it all. But what destroys my soul at this hour is that he who placed himself at the head of this church to raise the dead is not given the reverence that he should be given when he said, why do you not tremble in my presence? Now, I don't care what you people believe. I was invited here to speak. I don't want to confuse anybody. You can refute me all you want. Do what you want about it. But I'm not going to even listen to you. Because I know that he is here. And I know that I don't give him that honor and that depth of recognition and reverence that my soul should be living creeping on the floor.
Amen.
In a hallowed, sanctified awe.
Yeah.
Until you and I produce that talk all you want, I'm not interested. You say, Brother Dave, your heart didn't say I wasn't. Didn't say I wasn't. Not fight with anybody. I'm even going to go to Junior Jackson and apologize to Junior. Because I misunderstood Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, Junior believes this message just the same as we do. And I thought, hold it. Junior doesn't, but he does. Because he believes in his own way just as sincerely as I do. And the people who believe in deity believe just as sincerely as I do. And there's nobody believing this message any more sincerely than I do. And there's nobody believing it any less sincerely than I do. We all believe it sincerely. But we're all screwed up. Because as we eat the cherry pie, we don't spit out the pits, we fight about them. Then we throw either the pie out or each other out. Now let's be honest, you've done it.
especially preachers. I'm talking to preachers, and you especially laymen. You've done it. You've done it right to me. I argue till you're blue in the face with me. Over the very things I talked with Brother Branham personally. Now, I'm not going to try to make a personal statement about him. Take the tapes. Just live with them. But I want to tell you something, brother, sister. Acting like a bunch of kids in the presence of him who's at the head of the church now, ready to raise the dead. In this solemn moment, my brother, sister, there's something wrong. Spend your time before it's too late in doing something good. It is buying just a cup of coffee and saying, brother, come sit with me. Let's talk about Jesus.
Amen.
Sister, can I hold your baby? Well, you get a chance to hear a little bit more of the word. Brother, can I come and do a little bit of work that you can get away? Friend, is there some way I can be of assistance to you? No, it's much more fun arguing, quote, quote, unquote. Forget it. I'm not interested. You see, you don't believe in quotes? I sure do. What do you think I use them for? But I'm not going to use them for clubs and swords. I want to use them as food by the Word of God. You forgive me talking this way, brother, sister. But I've got a right to. And if you want to fall up here, talk to Brother Gunther. You can fall and say, Dale's crazy. I'm going to get those folks and grin near fighting. Well, you ain't going to fight me because I'm just going to walk off leave. Don Quixote, go ahead with your windmills. I'm no longer Don Quixote, believe me. I don't want to go tilting out there at Unseen Giants. I want to tilt against Lee Dale and bring him under Matthew, the 6th chapter. I know Matthew 18 is very important. Go to your brother, you bet your life. But I'm going to tell you, Matthew 18 ain't going to begin to come to place until Matthew 6 begins to come to place. See? Listen. I'm going to read you out of the book of John. John 11. Then I'm going to keep on reading. I'm going to read some more. All right. 25 and 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, 39 to 40. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, I'm not unto thee. If thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Jesus could not say this until Lazarus was dead 4 days. And he could not say it until it was time for him to reveal himself as the resurrection. The resurrection hour is approaching. It's not yet here. At this moment, you have got word, faith to believe the message. But when those dead come out of the ground, you are going to have resurrection faith. That's going to spiral you higher and higher until all the dead are out, whatever their ministry to you and me is, and that ministry fulfilled. Then there comes rapturing faith. And in rapturing faith, you walk right to the tree of life, knowing that you're not going to die, but suddenly sweet goes over you. You've gone into a state of immortality, ready to rise and meet you at the altar. Brother, sister, let me tell you, that's going on right now. And nobody knows it but us, and we don't even know it. But it's true. You say, Brother Dale, you mean you don't know it? I'm talking of the spiritual faith. We have the mechanical, which will bring the other. Yes. Usually a fair amount of time is spent on what I've been talking about, his abiding presence. But far less time is spent on believing that all things are working together for good. We try to believe it, but if we get the precept we've laid down yesterday and this morning, we will be able to understand Romans 8 and 28 that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord. In other words, the full effect of the Word, which is God, is on our behalf who can fail. And secondly, since the kingdom is future in the resurrection, it doesn't matter if you die. Life or death or nothing is going to spoil it for you. As I said, this brother once phoned me. And he talked in his nasal New York New York East type of voice.
And he couldn't understand how God would smear the prophet across the road. And I answered, I said, God fed his prophets to the lions, and their bodies were dung on the ground. Don't tell me he can't smear a prophet if he wants to. He's not dead. He's living. God's not the God of the dead. He said, Brother Bill, what's he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. There's such an uproar in heaven where he is, you can't believe it, because they said the last messengers arrived. When are we going to get down now and get over the kingdom? When are we going to get our bodies and get back there? They're screaming and they're shouting and they're hugging each other. They can't wait to come down here. Hallelujah. Don't tell me I know the answers. I got them from God. The prophet God, if he gathered to his people, every messenger went there. And they're just waiting now for that last one to come in and be child trained. And when he's in and his presence is here to see it being done, he's at the head of the church to raise the dead. And we can hardly wait now in expectation. But we're squabbling and fighting. Quit it this morning. Stop it before God, I plead to you. Let a brother who is not tender, who is not sweet, nor I wish I were. I hate myself the way I am. I went to the prophet. I think, do something. I can't stand it. I did, don't talk to me. I know what I'm talking about. He looked at me and he kind of funny little voice. He said, well, you wouldn't believe they like it. Oh, for God's sake, Bill, there's an end to everything. There's too much is too much. I'm too rough. I'm too hard. He looked back and he said, someone's got to tell him. I don't take that for my meanness, but I want to tell you in my heart there is a softness somehow. No, I'm rough and mean up here. Let's get this. I don't understand myself even. But he'd come down at the head of the church to raise the dead, and we're still talking like a bunch of stupid little idiots. And here stands that great one in our midst. Well, it's not only God innocent, God over us, it's now Godless of the whole thing fulfilled. And we stand around, talk, argue, quote, until I can't take it any longer. And I want to see him. And I don't care if he sends me to hell, that's his privilege. Say you're crazy. Yep, I'm crazy. Don't try to understand. I don't understand myself. I'd be glad to give my life for you. I don't understand what I'm even saying now, but I'll go to the lake of fire for you if that's what's necessary. I'm going to push you out of nothing because I couldn't push you in. Seek the kingdom. Do what you want about it. Yeah. Now since we understand this thing, let's know for certainty that if we accept the great priority, we are set for the rest of the pilgrimage. The pilgrimage is, come unto me all you that are weary and heavy laden. And brother, sister, at the end of the 7 days, it better be a pretty weary church because she's had a long pilgrimage. And there's been a long time of waiting. Those jeans coming down had the original hunger, the original desire. Now they've got to you and me. It's as though we can't wait. I've often said, and I do facetiously, if God doesn't pull the plug, I'll pull the plug for God. I'm tired of the whole thing. It's been a long week. And as you get toward the end, there's a greater expectancy. There's a greater nervousness, the whole thing. People wondering. Sure, but the pilgrimage is almost over. And he who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and labor, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we can understand what I'm trying to say this morning, and I myself, which we are capable. We're capable by spiritual abilities in the Holy Ghost to accept it. Amen. And take our rest. Brother Branham said under the seventh seal was relaxation. Now I got it written down somewhere in a book, I don't know just where now, but what Brother Salton did not get in the tape, I knew that Brother Neal did. I phoned Brother Neal in Indiana, and I said, get your tape and write to me what was left out. And nothing was left out of any importance except the place where he said it's relaxing time. It's time to take the yoke. To make the burden easy. Why? Because if you take a yoke, it means you're yoked to somebody. And he carries the greater part of the load. Yoked to Jesus, one with him. Come on right down here and help us. Oh, God, open our eyes somehow today to see you. Yeah. I don't want to see any pillar of fire. No, I don't want to see that. I'm not interested. I'm presented with my inner conscience and eyes, seeing him was altogether lovely. Amen. To see him was wounded for our transgression, bruised iniquity.
to chasten our peace upon him by his stripes being healed. To see the travail of his soul and know I'm a part of that travail. To see his seed, to know I'm a part of that seed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Adam's race no longer condemned because God brought us through. Yes, sir. It'll bring us to such a measure of Christ-likeness as to be a part of his glory in the kingdom of Almighty God. In Philippians, the second chapter. In verses 5 to 11, let this, I read it, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. The coming down until the recognition is only of him. See? Now, I got one more page of notes here, drawing conclusions, forget it. I'm not going to preach any longer. If you haven't caught it now, we're never going to get it. There's a priority. There's a God who said it. He didn't say bungling all the world, because you can't do it. You'll never do it. Never said go conquer all ages, you can't do it. All space, all time. He said get yourself under control. He said, you're an inquisitive people. I made you that way. You're going to seek. You're going to hunt. You're going to find. He said, you're going to all the way up. I said, got news for you. There's two ways of doing it. One's wrong. One's right. If you seek the kingdom first, by way of my word, understanding this is not a privilege whereby you may decide to do or not to do. It is a distinct command by a sovereign God who never made a mistake, who guarantees and has proven by nature that you are safe and secure, that you will be a part of that kingdom. He even told you how it was going to take place. He said, if you start doing it, you will come to the place where there's one master, one eye, which is single, and the whole body is full of life.
Amen.
Now, as individuals, this works, and as a group, it works. Until Brother Branham said, oh, when that sweet spirit would come amongst us. It'll never come by fussing with quoting what Brother Branham said. It'll come by doing what Brother Branham said. Quit fussing, quit picking, quit clanging. And don't put anybody out. Isn't it the most stupid thing in the world to pretend we want to win souls to Jesus and win people to the message of the Word of God and then we put each other out? You talk about a fellow building a fence just to knock it down. A barn just to burn it down. A baby just to kill it. Wake up, old church of God. But awake to righteousness. You still love me? It doesn't matter if you do. I don't want to be loved anyway. You know something? I'll just tell you a personal thing about my life. I'm a married man. I never could stand my wife in bed to put her arm around me and hug me. Just a little while, just get away. I'm letting you know something about me. Funny kind of the nature. Not defending myself, just ends it. I'm letting you know. You may never get close to me, I may never get close to you, but I want you to know one thing. I am not a hypocrite. And I'm not standing here telling you a lie. I'll jump someday. I don't seek anything for myself. Sure, I want to live. Sure, there's certain things I'm human. But brother, sister, above all things, I want God somehow to get glory. If I get cast a lake of fire after it, that doesn't matter. It won't matter. Because he's God. And he's right. And he knows what's right. And he's doing what's right. And we tell you something. Every child of God is in his image. And he can follow the footsteps of his father. You believe that? I believe with all my heart, brother and sister. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. And not just like him as we look forward to that future, but be like him now. Shall we rise at this time? Dear Lord Jesus, as much as we might not want to admit it deep within us, there's that hunger and desire to love and be loved. We're made a certain way, Lord. It's been trampled down by the devil, by ourselves,
And it's made us all a little different. We know that. But there is a God in heaven, in whose hand the hearts of kings are, as the rivers of water turns them any way He wants. And You can do that this morning, Lord, if we only want it. Every heart can be broken down. Every life can be put into service. Every child of God can reach out and touch and be touched spiritually and do those beautiful things, Lord, that we ought to be doing. God, keep us now. I don't care how and what it's going to take, that if we don't yield ourselves to simple word, You'd say You'd correct us now and go ahead and do it. We're leaving ourselves open these last moments, Lord, because time's all but gone. We want to, Lord, give the glass of water. We want to give the blessing. We want to give the needed touch, the bit of comfort, laying up treasure in heaven, so the heart can follow and the whole body be full of life. Knowing, Lord, that this is a command, I don't even have the right, Lord, to pray and ask You to do anything about it, because it's already been done. Just pray, oh God, if I don't do something about it, then beat the living daylights out of me, Lord. You're with me before, Lord, and I quit preaching. Now I'll never go back. God, You're just so good You can do it again. And until the last moments of time, I no longer wasted on myself, no siree, but are utilized to a better degree and extent as we labor in with the children of God. Lord, may that spirit the prophet spoke of be amongst us now. Sweet, gentle spirit of Ezekiel, a new spirit will I give within you for the Holy Spirit to really come. Not that He hasn't come, but to come within the coming, the revelation, the settling down, something now like the birds of the air hovering over the nest, over the little ones, soon to descend upon them. That same feeling, same way upon us, O God. Heavenly Father, deep calling to deep, it's just perhaps it's not deep enough yet. But You created all things. Could we pray, Lord, this morning, create a little deeper deep within us? I don't know if I'm praying right or wrong, Lord, but I need a deeper deep. I pray for all of us for a deeper deep, because there's such a depth out there to respond. Oh, God, if the prophet said He could reduce Himself to a cell, then, Lord, You can reduce Yourself to many cells a day. So help us all. Bless each one, Lord. And now, Father, may the knowledge of Your Word somehow come to life. It's been preached today, Lord. I don't know that I've done the best, or no, I haven't. I know that. But it's Your Word, Lord. It can't fail, it can't die, it's got to do something. It can't bring forth tares. It's got to bring forth a 30 or a 60 or a 100. It's got to, because it's Your Word, and there is good ground here. I don't care how much sidewalk, how many rocks, and how many tares. I don't care. That Word's got to do something. So, Lord, here we are. Let the Word come forth. Every son and daughter laying up treasure. Every heart single, obedient, loving. Every eye with the fullness of life. That full Word of God. And a bride so inured with the Word, the dead come out of the graves, and we all go to be to Jesus. Lord, that's true. That's Your Word. As the prophet said, thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be. I know it, Lord. I know it. And if we can give You credit there, then we can do the rest. So I thank You, blessing Your wonderful name, because You are wonderful.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.